Well, thank you, Tenny and team there. That was great worship there. I was just, I didn't realize it was my turn to get up there. I just wanted to keep going. That was beautiful. Yeah. Great to be with you, church family. I've missed you guys. We've been in Saskatchewan for a number of weeks there, in the land of the heat and the mosquitoes, and it's good to be home. It's good to be with you. My church family, just love you guys and love worshiping together with you. And we're going to continue our series, Psalm 23, and thank you, those of you who preached the first couple weeks in my absence here, Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is often considered kind of a beloved psalm, but it has been said and stated and recited in various contexts, including on United Airlines Flight 93, which was a flight from San Francisco, from Newark International Airport to San Francisco, the date, September 11th, 2001. And you, of course, remember what happened that day when those four planes were taken down by hijackers. Now, the hijackers didn't consider the possibility that the people on the flight would use their cell phones to call loved ones, and the loved ones would tell them what is happening. And Todd Beamer, whose image you see up on the screen there, he made a phone call to the GTE supervisor. And Todd Beamer is 32 years old, an executive with the Oracle Corporation, and he learned about the hijackers' plans. And so he asked the supervisor to phone his wife and tell her that he loved her, as well as his two young children. And then you hear on the recording of the flight that Todd Beamer is talking to some of the other passengers, and they're arranging to attack the hijackers. There's some commotion, and then Todd Beamer leads in a reciting of Psalm 23 to the people on that plane. And he finishes with Psalm 23. He drops the phone, and then he says, "God help me, Jesus help me. Are you ready? Let's roll." And then they attacked the hijackers. Psalm 23 is a beloved psalm, but it's more than just a psalm of religious consolation. It's also a psalm of courage, of strength, of power. This well-known psalm has given inspiration to people throughout the centuries, including the passengers on that flight that fearful day. We've been walking through Psalm 23, and last Sunday we looked at the line, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." And I was here with the KU families, and Natalie, we too had a great time here. It sounds like you had a great time at the Grandview location. We had a great brunch here, and you see a picture there of the application game that we did on the end. At the end, you know, this trust walk with a blindfold on, that if we want guidance from God, we need to get close to the guide. And I thank you, church family, for your flexibility in being a church that's willing to shift things, change things, to be a multiplying, disciple-making movement, that sometimes we multiply our gatherings into various gatherings in clubhouses like last Sunday. So thanks for leading the way on that. Psalm 23, let's read together the first four verses. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that's what we're going to focus on today. And so it's good to be back, and like I said, gone for a few weeks, and all kinds of exciting things have happened since I've been gone. Solomon and Avina got engaged, so that's quite exciting. Let's give them a hand. Yeah, that's great. And before I went away, Matt and Sam had their baby daughter, but this will be my first time to see Addie, so looking forward to that. After service, let's give them a hand. Yeah. And there's probably all kinds of other things that I'm not even aware of, great to see you guys. And we want to pray this morning as a church family. We rejoice with those who rejoice, like these two couples. And also as a church family, we mourn with those who mourn. And those of you who are on the prayer chain would have received a prayer request this week concerning this young couple. Why don't we put them up on the screen there? Emily Mitten grew up in this church. Some of you who have been here for a long time will remember her. She's living now in Calgary, but this week her husband passed away along with some other men. And so we want to pray today for Emily and for their family. And I would encourage you, if you know the Mitten family, to make a generous donation to the GoFundMe page. As you see, she's great with child, and she'll be a single mom come September. And so, let's pause and pray right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. You are the great I am. As Natalie reminded us, you are from the beginning. Before this world came into existence. And so we want to make much of you today, and we worship you. And as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we look to you, the sovereign God. And so we would pray right now you would reach down in your mercy to Emily, to her sister Amanda, to her parents, Steve and Lori, to the Measley family as they're saying goodbye to their beloved son, Kirk, their brother. We just pray that you would draw these families to yourself. We pray that you would fill them with resurrection hope, even this day. Sometimes it's hard to know your goodness, as we sang about. But we pray that somehow you would shine that through to them, we ask. And for ourselves, Lord Jesus, you have us watching online right now or have us here in the building, and you want to speak. And so I pray you would take your written word and speak it into our hearts, our lives, right now, I ask. Amen. Psalm 23. It's been pronounced at funerals of the homeless. It's been engraved on the headstones of kings and queens. And we want to focus on verse 4 today. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now that expression, valley of the shadow of death, if you look in your Bible, sometimes gets translated as the valley of darkness or the valley of the deepest darkness. Now David, as a shepherd here writing this, he's reflecting on the task of shepherding, that the shepherd will take his flock on a winter drive. And during that annual pilgrimage, there's a danger to both the shepherd and the sheep on this drive. Let me read for you from Max Lucado's book, Traveling Light, to give a little bit of the historical context. Summer in ancient Palestine, a woolly bunch of bobbing heads follow the shepherd out of the gate. The morning sun has scarcely crested the horizon, and he is already leading his flock. Like every other day, he guides them through the gate and out into the fields. But unlike most days, the shepherd will not return home tonight. He will not rest on his bed, and the sheep will not sleep in their fenced-in pasture. This is the day the shepherd takes the sheep to the high country. Today he is leading his flock to the mountain. He has no other choice. Springtime grazing has left his pasture bare, so he must seek new fields. With no companion other than a sheep and no desire other than their welfare, he leads them to the deep grass of the hillsides. The shepherd and his flock will be gone for weeks, perhaps months. They will stay well into the autumn until the grass is gone and the chill is unbearable. Not all shepherds make this journey. The trek is long. The path is dangerous. Poisonous plants can infect the flock. Wild animals can attack the flock. There are narrow trails and dark valleys. Some shepherds choose the security of the barren pasture below, but the good shepherd doesn't. He knows the path. He has walked this trail many times. Besides, he is prepared. Staff in hand and rod attached to his belt, with his staff he will nudge the flock. With his rod he will protect and lead the flock. He will lead them to the mountains. David understood this annual pilgrimage. So that gives you a little bit of the context of what's happening here in verse 4. This shepherd who's leading the sheep to the mountains. He's known from past experience about the predators, the cougars, the wolves, the bears, the coyotes. He's known about the sudden storms, the flash floods, the rock slides, the mud slides, anything that could injure or kill his sheep. But as a good shepherd, he knows that it's best to take the sheep to higher ground. He's on a mission to get his flock to the high country. But before they reach the heights of the mountain, they will have to go through the valley. Even though I walk through the deepest, darkest valley. And to spiritualize that for ourselves in 2023, we all face valleys. Life is full of valleys. Valleys that can immobilize us. Valleys that can cause us fear. Valleys that can cause us to shrink back. We all go through valleys. It's the nature of life. Our valleys are different. They have differing labels to them. We all have different experiences. Some of us have walked through the dark valley of failure. Or there's the other valley of broken relationship. There's the valley of sickness. There's another valley labeled bankruptcy, and another one betrayal. There's the valley called unemployment, and another one that's called addiction. There are valleys of depression and anxiety. And the one valley we will all go through is the valley of death. So some valleys are very difficult when we go through them at the time, and then we sometimes are on the other side of them, and then we go, you know, that wasn't too bad. Like, let's say something happened in high school, and, you know, you're panicking and thinking, oh, no, I'm in so much trouble here. This is the end of my life, and then you kind of go through that, and then maybe like a few years later, you're meeting with some friends and go, remember what we did in high school? And remember when we thought that was going to be the end? And well, now we're kind of laughing about it. Some valleys are like that. But then there's other valleys that we never talk about, right? I could say certain words that would be a trigger for some of you from trauma that you have experienced in the past. The deepest, darkest valleys that we never talk about. No one can avoid valleys. Though they have different names, we all go through valleys. Some of the characteristics of valleys are that valleys are impartial. No one can say, oh, I'm always going to live on the mountain. Life doesn't work like that. We all go through the valley. Christian or not Christian, committed Christian, not committed Christian. They are impartial. Jesus said, your Father in heaven, he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. God shows no favoritism. Valleys are for everyone. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. Secondly, valleys are unpredictable. There's no way you can plan for them. A valley can suddenly appear, descend, unannounced, unwelcome. Kind of like there's no good time to get a flat tire, right? You never get a flat tire and say, well, I'm glad it happened today. Like, it's never a good time. Likewise with valleys. There's never a good time for the valleys. They're sudden. They're unexpected. In economic circles, they have a terminology they call black swan events. This idea that something comes out of the blue that was totally unexpected, unprepared. There's no way you can plan for it. No one saw it coming. An outlier. Matthew chapter 8, we read, then Jesus got into the boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Jesus and the disciples are there. The sudden storm happens. Same way in our lives, friends. The storms come. We can't expect, we can expect them, but we don't know when they're coming. Storms of varying sorts. Thirdly, valleys are inevitable. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't say in this world you might have trouble. He said, in this world you will have trouble. It's a guarantee that we will go through valleys. It's not a matter of if we'll face a valley, it's when we'll face the valley. Valleys are inevitable. Fourth characteristic is that valleys are temporary. Even though I walk through the valley, the shepherd leads his sheep through the valley. The valley is never the destination. It's not the final stopping point. The goal for the shepherd in this annual pilgrimage is to get to the high country. The valley is only temporary, and your valleys are only temporary. Oh, sometimes they last a long time, right? We wonder, am I ever going to make it through this? But God is with you, and God has a higher purpose in those valleys. Peter writes these words in 1 Peter chapter 1. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Peter is writing those words to people who were facing all kinds of persecution. Nero was lighting some of them up as human torches for his dinner parties. But Peter reminds them it's a temporary thing. There's a greater glory that is happening. Here in Psalm 23, the shepherd is leading the sheep through the valley. And what the shepherd did back in that day, your good shepherd will do for you. When the pasture is bare down here, he will lead us to the high country. He will take us to the mountain by the way of the valley, even through the deepest, darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death. And so I say, friends, follow him. He is your good shepherd. So the question is not, will I face valleys? You will. They're impartial. They're inevitable. You can't necessarily prepare to avoid them, but you can ready yourself. Ready yourself to encounter God, to develop the resilience to be able to go through the valley. How are you going to react to your next valley? Or perhaps you're in a valley right now. Well, two things I see here in this psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Number one, refuse to be afraid, friends. Refuse to be afraid in the face of your valleys. Todd Beamer on that United Airlines Flight 93 could lead in a reading of Psalm 93 and then say those final two words, let's roll, as he and some other passengers attack those terrorists. That in the face of evil, we will not fear it. God wants you to remember to fear not, to not be afraid. And Psalm 23 does an interesting shift here in verse 4. The psalm starts as like a poem. It's almost like it's one sheep talking to another sheep, kind of bragging about their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Kind of talking about the shepherd. Then in verse 4, there's a shift from the third person to the first person. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's no longer he, it's you. The poem has become a prayer. Friends, when you and I find ourselves in those valleys, we've got to focus on him. Directly, not looking at the circumstances, Not necessarily just relying on friends and family, although that could be good, but to encounter God in the intimacy of Him as the good shepherd who's leading you through your valley. To refocus upon Him. Psalm 23 is this annual pilgrimage, like I said, the year-long sheep drive. And he would start when the weather was good, and he would sleep with the sheep, travel with them during the day, all to get them to the mountain. And in order to reach that mountain, they've got to go through the valley. And the valley is full of danger. It's fearful for the sheep. There's predatory animals. There's rock slides, mudslides, avalanches, all kinds of things that can happen. But that shepherd is scouting and looking for the best route to take his sheep. And yes, though there's danger, the shepherd knows the way, and he goes with them. Friends, in the face of evil, and we have all kinds of evil in our world, right? I was reading yesterday in Christianity Today, they were talking about how horror movies and horror TV series have just been gaining in popularity as a genre. And they're reflecting upon the evil in our society. We see it in our news all the time. But in the face of the evil, we need not fear. Though even though I walk through the deepest, darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. We walk through the valley. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song, going on a lion hunt, gonna catch a big one. I'm not scared. Got my trusty rifle. Oh, come to some tall grass. Can't go over it. Can't go around it. Can't go under it. Gotta go through it. Anybody else sang that song? Okay, a few of us did. I looked on YouTube to see if it's still being sung. It's still being sung, but nowadays the kids don't carry rifles, and they're not necessarily hunting the lions. So the lyrics have changed a little bit, but it's still out there. The point is, yeah, you can't go over or under or around the tall grass in the same way your valley. You've got to go through it. But the good shepherd goes with you. And so you need not fear. The psalmist elsewhere writes in Psalm 56, when am I afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And so I say, friends, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your circumstances. Don't be afraid of your future. Don't be afraid of any people. God is with you. When you're in the valley, refuse to be afraid. Secondly, remember that God is with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In the valleys of life, God promises not just his power, but he also promises his presence. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That often repeated promise in the Bible. He will always be by your side. And often in those valley times, that's when we can sense the shepherd. That's when we need the shepherd more than ever. Isaiah says it this way. God says, when you go through the deep waters in great trouble, I will be with you. So friends, turn to him. Turn to him in your valleys. He promises to walk with you the rest of your life, the deepest, darkest valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death. You will not face death alone without the face of God there with you. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A couple of chapters later, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He's doing it personally. He will personally lead you home. He's not going to delegate it out. He will walk with you. And so you can live with no fear, even in the face of death. Donald Barnhouse was a pastor in Philadelphia many years ago, 10th Presbyterian Church. When his wife passed away,
at a young age, leaving him with two young daughters to raise alone. And as he's driving to the funeral, and he was going to conduct and lead this funeral, which I find quite amazing, he's got his two girls in the back seat of the car. He's trying to think, what do I say to them? They come to a traffic light. It's a sunny day. The sun is shining in. And then a big truck comes beside them and blocks the sun. And that's when he turns to his girls at the light and he says, "Girls, would you rather be hit by the shadow or hit by the truck?" And one of them responded, "Oh, Daddy, that's a silly question. The shadow can't hurt you." Then he tried to explain to them that their mother had passed away and she had been hit by the shadow. It's as if Jesus stepped in front of the truck and he had been hit by the truck. And then he said these words, "Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us." Friends, whatever your valley, God is with you. This week I went back to the Starbucks where Emily Mitten used to work. And I just spent a few moments there, recalled a conversation I had with her, and then prayed, of course, for her family, and thought about the brevity of life and my own life, and that there are no guarantees. We have today, but tomorrow is not guaranteed. And I reminded myself to trust in the Good Shepherd in the face of whatever. And so I say to you, friends, trust your Good Shepherd. He will lead you to higher ground. You can follow him with no fear. You say, "Well, Rick, how do you know that's true? How do you know it's true?" Arnold Schwarzenegger, former governor of California and Terminator, he said a couple weeks ago, he said, "There is no effing afterlife." As if he knows. How would he know? How can you make a declaration like that? So you say, "Rick, how do you know it's true? How do you know Arnold's not right and the psalmist is wrong?" Well, something that hit me this week from this psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." It follows Psalm 22, which is a messianic psalm. Psalm 22 begins, my God, where have you forsaken me?" Who said that? Jesus said that on the cross. And in this messianic psalm, you see all kinds of references to Jesus, to, you know, the dryness in his throat, to the soldiers gambling for his clothes. And I thought it was interesting, God in his sovereignty would have Psalm 22 here right before Psalm 23. How do I know it's true? I look to the cross. And the shepherd became a sheep. The shepherd himself went through the valley of the shadow of death and came out on the other side. That after death, there's a resurrection. After the valley of the shadow of death, there's a resurrection. After your valley, there will be a resurrection. And so, friends, you can live with hope. In the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." And so you can look to him. You can turn to him in your valleys. The life you live day by day, your small decisions, your big decisions, your fears, whatever they may be, that God goes with you because the shepherd has gone ahead. And so you can trust in him. And so I invite you to today to place your trust in the good shepherd who hung on that cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And took the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, upon himself. And you can be assured, you can know with absolutely certainty that he's gone through the valley for you. And he will lead you home. He will lead you to the high mountain. Let's go to prayer. I'll just take a few moments of prayer right now. Are you in a valley? Turn to him. Let him speak to you. Let him comfort you. God brought you here. God has you watching right now to remind you of his presence. Speak now, Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and yet you are the personal good shepherd who leads each one of us, who knows our journey, our pathway, who guides us. Thank you that you have gone ahead. Thank you that you give hope for each day and hope into everlasting life. In your name I pray, amen.